And who are you, sir?
I am Rabbi Tuckman, purveyor of sacramental wine and moil extraordinaire.
Hello, Rabbi.
Hello, boys.
Moil. I don't believe I've ever heard of that profession.
Moil, he's a very important guy. He makes circumcisions.
What, pray tell, sir, is a circumcision?
Oh, it's the latest rage. The ladies love it.
Well, I want one.
Oh, I'll take two.
Yeah, put me down too, man. Yeah. I get one.
I'm game. How's it done?
Just not. I take my little machine. I take your little thing. See? I put it into this little hole here. And nip the tip. Who's first?
Oh, it changed me mind.
I forgot, man. I already got one.
Question.
I gotta work with a much younger crowd.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Demi.
And we're back.
Apparently we are.
I thought we were gone.
I thought so too. Your RSS feed is broken. You should fix it.
What happened to the RSS?
The podcast feed is not working.
Really?
Yeah. You should fix it. I was waiting to tell you on the air. It's not working.
Mm-mm. Anyways, starting with, as we always do, with what we watch this week. Damon, what did you watch this week?
For the last couple of weeks, some of us took a break. I tried to watch Watchmen Ultimate Cut, but me and the cartoon.
Have you not watched it yet?
No, I watched up until the first bit where they edited in the cartoon, and while I'm happy for more Watchmen, the cartoon, we're not friends. Seems a bit unnecessary, and so decided to stop watching the Ultimate Cut and go back to the Director's Cut and enjoy myself.
Thank you.
The juxtaposition between what I know the Watchmen is and the comic, the animated portion, I just wasn't feeling. Maybe when I get over my bias, I think bias is playing a large role in why I'm not enjoying it. So I'll go back one of these days. Also watch Why We Laugh, Black Comedians on Black Comedy.
I was thinking about watching that one. I didn't. Is it good?
And it's a documentary about comedy, black comedy to be specific. And at the beginning, of course, it makes you hate white people, as all students. All historical movies about black people do. And by the end you see where black people have essentially taken over. Like sports. Same with comedy. Apparently we're pretty good at it. It was fun seeing just how the progression went. Because I knew a lot of the comics that they were talking about, but I didn't know in the specific order that they came on the scene. So it was good to know that like some of them that I liked, they were doing it. They were doing bits from the 70s. And they're better than comedians that we have now, which is really disappointing. And they also spoke about how a lot of black comics know the not-so-good ones. All they do is curse and talk about sex and their comedy.
Isn't that like comedy?
Yeah, but the comedy is, they're not really pushing any boundaries. They're kind of stagnant and it's hurting black comedy more than helping. It's a documentary about comedy. It was pretty funny and so I enjoyed it a fair amount. I saw Defendor.
Oh, I watched that one too.
I enjoyed it. It was good. The Asian chick from Grey's Anatomy, I don't remember her name.
Oh, the I know Sandra Oh. I know her from Arliss. She was in Arliss, which I loved.
I enjoyed her the most. Just seeing how she dealt with Defendor was really funny to me. And the movie is pretty cliche, but it's fun to watch. It's not anything special, speaking of which. It's not special. The movie is not as good as special. Yeah, I was hoping that it would have been as good as the Michael Rapaport movie, but
I still haven't found special to see.
It's not as good, but it was still a fun watch. The only thing I didn't like was the prostitute chick.
Kat Dennings.
She didn't do much. She was just there. She's probably the worst prostitute of all time.
But there's one really special movie you saw this week that reminds me of Defendor.
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Kick-Ass.
Yeah, no, I was leaving Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass is phenomenal, but Andrew will talk about it. Oh, you won't? Alright. So Kick-Ass is phenomenal. Everyone knows what Kick-Ass is. Anyone that's listening to this. Hit Girl is just terrific. The movie is just high octane from start to finish. It was always funny. It was always irreverent. And the skewed morals that was on display was right up my alley. I've read reviews from serious critics who...
Like me?
Who condemned the movie for having so much violence and so much swearing and so much this and so much that and being misogynistic, as if they've never heard or seen a Mark Millar.
Alright, question. Today I was reading on filmschoolrejects.com an article, I think it was The Boiling Point this week, which was saying, to stay on point, that Kick-Ass, as awesome a movie as it was, he gave it that it's awesome, was completely wrong. It didn't stick to its beginning morals. It started out saying, with the question, what if a regular person went out and attempted to be a superhero?
Yeah.
And it started out all good for around 30 minutes. So anyone listening to this who hasn't seen Kick-Ass, I might ruin a few things, so tune out for a couple minutes. Starts out pretty much okay in that he walks out, he thinks he's a badass, gets stabbed and beat the shit out of, and then gets filled with metal platings all over and has nerve damage. So if you have metal plating all over, it doesn't mean that you can now withstand more and more damage, or you are now indestructible. It means that you are going to have a harder time walking around because that shit's heavy and it's horrible to have in you. Nerve ending damage isn't that good a power, because it stops you from being able to tell when you're hurt.
Yes.
When later in the movie, when there's the that might pose a problem. And then of course later on in the movie they bring in jetpacks.
For all the people who are bringing reality into
this. I'm allowed to give it to him because he's just expressing a point of view while at the same time saying I love it.
It's an action movie, and it's an action movie based off a comic book. It's not our reality. Our reality would suck. That is, no one wants to see that. No one wants to see. Just like Batman, do you think wearing the suit and having all that tech would help? Talk to US soldiers and ask them how much thousands of dollars of technology they have on them. Ask them how easy it is to kick somebody wearing all of that gear. Let me tell you, it's not.
Is this knowledge from when you worked at the...
Yes. It's just...
The security police.
Yeah. It's a comic book. It's supposed to be fun. And if... I understand. That he's saying, this and that and whatever. But, it's the same reason why I accept that Parker was bitten by a spider and gained powers. And that building a suit out of frigging metal is going to enable you to fly... fucking serious. Alright, and that Batman, can jump, and because he has karate training, he's able to do all this shit with 900 pounds of equipment. Nobody cares. I hate when people try to bring reality into action movies. What people need to focus on is the action part. This is what I focus on. That's what I would go to see. If you want reality, go and watch Schindler's List and come back and tell me what the flaws are in that movie. But I mean, that, like, it's the same people who are complaining that Transporter is too light because it is impossible to do that with a car. Oh no, shit. It's just a ridiculous complaint to lodge against a movie like this. It's kind of pointless.
Okay. Anyways, what else have you watched this week you want to talk about?
So I saw Chris Tucker's greatest movie, and I also saw Marky Mark's greatest movie. I saw The Fifth Element in high def, and that movie is amazing. That movie is so much fun. It is ridiculous. And there's things that I saw in the movie that I didn't remember. Like, that movie is straight up a comedy. And Chris Tucker is the reason that movie is special. It's not Lila Dallas and her multipass. It has nothing to do with it. Chris Tucker, whatever, G. Chris Tucker is so... I mean, a movie had me in stitches. Now, mark you, this movie isn't technically a good movie. I didn't want to say a technically good movie. I want to say The Fifth Element. But the
Element, I think The Fifth Element, it does have its technical high points. It's not a sloppy movie.
No. I mean, in terms of structure and story, movies and dialogue. Chris Tucker is phenomenal. But this movie is blown out of the water by Mark Wahlberg's opus.
You mean the one that I saw that you made me watch?
The big hit is... I don't even know where to begin. This movie is...
How about with the last fight scene? How about with the last fight scene?
How about with the first fight scene?
The one where at one point they stop having fights and they start just showing Mark Wahlberg doing the breakdance move while shooting in the ground.
Yep. Trace Buster. That's all I have to say. There will never be better dialogue written for any movie ever. I said, what if he has his own Trace Buster?
Do you know, I think whoever wrote the first Transporter film watched The Big Hit a lot.
Pretty sure.
Because it had the same thing going. Like,
it is.
Dude was ridiculous action. He meets random Asian girl that he's not supposed to
bang.
And then he
ends up banging.
And then they have the final fight scene.
And he wins.
Yeah.
And, the casting, the direction, it was so over the top from start to finish. And that movie is what Scary Movie was aspiring to be, right? It was a spoof on all action movies. But it wasn't...
Are you sure Mark Wahlberg knew that?
I'm pretty sure the director knew. I don't think Mark Wahlberg was... That is what I love the most. I'm pretty sure he thought this was a serious movie. And the director was just there dying behind the cameras. Like, this is the greatest thing I've ever produced. This is phenomenal. Are you seeing this? Sorry. Dang. The movie is just so much fun. And I wish they'd make more movies like this. They do from time to time. We got Shoot 'Em Up. Not too long ago, and that is what spoof movies should have been. It's not just straight up jacking lines from other movies and wrapping them in some mishmash horrible movie with terrible actors. There's a time that it was done better, and this is one of those times. It was just so fun to see. I absolutely love that movie. I also saw Zombieland again.
I have that one up there.
Yes,
beautiful Blu-ray.
Oh, it is phenomenal. Bill Murray.
Don't break it for people. That's not nice.
And I saw Peacock, which You haven't seen
it. I still haven't watched it. So
I'm
need
not
to
going
it
to talk about it because we're reviewing it next week.
Okay.
Because you have to watch it.
All right.
I'm just going to say this is another quid pro quo movie for me. Where I'm pretty sure many people won't see it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people probably won't like it. But I absolutely love this movie, and I am going to get it any way I can. I don't know if there's a Blu-ray. I know there's a DVD slated to come out. But I think
it's already out.
Right,
or it's next week it comes out. Sometime soon. Yeah, like within the next couple of weeks at least.
And so
Right,
I have to get this movie. I love it. It's so, so good. I'm also breaking my rule, and I continue to watch Justified. I want to stop, but Oliphant is phenomenal. It's just such a fun series. Anyone that's not watching Justified, unless you're watching something better like Breaking Bad, should probably watch Justified. You probably should. Okay, I think that's it.
You think that's it? Mm-hmm. Any more Justified? No.
Oliphant is—he's a pretty man. He's a pretty, pretty man.
All right. This isn't really this week, but in general, since last we spoke, I've seen
last year,
sometime last year. I was the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Finally,
about time. In High Def. Yes.
In High Def.
Pretty.
I love it. And
I must say,
I mean, I think I'm giving Gilliam a little leeway with the movie because of everybody knows Ledger died during this film and he had to do a lot of rewrites. Like, I will, even though I said when the trailer came out and when the news came out that Jude Law, Johnny Depp and Colin Farrell are filling the gaps, mm-hmm. I was kind of worried as to how it would actually work in the film, and I loved it. I loved how he worked it.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point I was questioning what did this original script look like, because You realize when you're watching the movie that he actually had to rewrite the entire third act.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost sure that didn't happen end. But I give the man points. He figured out a way how to take the footage he had so as not to have to run over all of the film he did.
Right.
Recast somebody. I think at this, like, in 10 years when everyone's forgotten the news behind this film, they're going to watch it and they're going to realize that if this was the original script, it would have been lovely anyways. It's a fantastic movie. I love the imaginations. But for me, the second half of the film has to be best. When they finally restructure the show, that scene when they're in the shopping mall, it looks like that is my favorite part. Yeah.
Up until the end.
Yeah.
I love
Andrew Garfield, the Anton.
Yeah,
he's wonderful in it, and Tom Waits is just a joy to see in this film.
Biased with Tom Waits,
I like Tom Waits. Douglas loves him,
yeah,
and I've had my questions about him in film, but this movie,
he's very good.
Like the only other movie that I kind of love him in, and it's not a good love. It's Mystery Men. The one with Ben Stiller about the hero.
Yeah,
and there's a girl with the bowling ball.
No, I don't. I don't.
He's the guy who makes the car.
I should let them. It's so not good with that movie.
And is it Keaton in that movie? Or it's Kel?
Kel. One of them.
And the only other movie that I want to talk about that I saw Patton for the very first time. I got it on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Cheap.
And you got the speech.
I got the speech, and I didn't know that Patton said, I knew this quote from a long time ago, but I didn't know it was Patton. And just hearing George C. Scott say it was just awesome. You don't win a war by dying for your country. You do it by making the other guy die for his. Like, this movie is fantastic. General Patton, a character on himself. I knew this movie was going to be fantastic after the opening monologue, but even after that, there was this one scene early in the movie where he came into the camp and he walked into the hospital and he was like, "Doctor, let me see the patients list. Anyone here who says fatigue, kick them the fuck out. They don't deserve to be among all of these other men who were shot in battle. Get them out of here today. I don't care what you do." Shut up. Like, he is someone who I want to meet in real life.
He's like this close to being Adams.
Adam? Oh, yes.
Like, he should come. He should have come to Jermaine. Could have used someone like him.
We already talked about the big hit, so I won't mention that.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, so what did you think?
What did I think? I think it was ridiculous fun.
It's phenomenal.
Like, I didn't like Mark Wahlberg as much as I loved all the other people.
No, in it. That's why, because you can tell that he thought he was making a good movie. Like, and everybody,
the one dude who gave up weird because he discovered masturbating. It was just hilarious. Like, every scene you see him, with that grippy, right? Going like, oh, I can't wait till I get home. And then the main dude, what's his real name? I don't know.
It is just so good. So unbelievably good.
All right, one more movie that I'll mention before we go on. I saw This Is Spinal Tap for the very first time. Have you seen this film? But you know about it. It's a famous Rob Reiner film mockumentary about this American band
called
Spinal Tap.
Ah.
Oh no, it's a British band coming to America. Fuck. I really wasn't paying much attention. This movie, it will hurt your brain. Like, it's funny, but it's so ridiculously stupid that while you're listening to these retarded people talk and you're getting the joke and you're laughing, your brain inside is dying.
So it's like Eve was on both
ends. Okay, I think I need to. Like, there's a famous scene where the guy is showing off his collection of guitars, mm-hmm. and then he goes around to an amplifier he bought. And he found so special because when he saw it in the shop, he stared at the knobs and he saw that they all went up to 11. So he said to himself, for all of you rockers out there who think you know how to rock, when you go up to 10, if I'm around, I can go up to 11. And the guy asks him, but wait, isn't it just a scaled version, so your 11 is really there 10? He's like, no, there's 10, and then there's 11. It's so stupid and hilarious. And the songs are hilarious. There's the first song they play, More Cushion for the Pushing. It's ridiculously hilarious. But I promise you, by the time you hit like that hour mark, mm-hmm. you need to pause and take like an aspirin, because
I think I need to watch this. Put that on the list.
Yeah, and the rest of them I'll just leave alone. Just care about what I mentioned.
Slamming Salmon, Lovely Bone, Rosemary's Baby. You should talk about Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby.
Weren't you a fan?
I like the movie, but it's, I mean, phenomenal. It's not something I'm going to be revisiting at all.
It's because you're a child. You're just afraid.
I'm afraid. I'm definitely afraid. Anyways, since this week we're reviewing Mysterious Skin, starring yes. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No, starring Cobra Commander. You're incorrect, sir.
I know that's how you viewed it. You're like, this dude becomes Cobra Commander. And everyone considers Mysterious Skin his breakout performance. I wanted us to do our top 5 breakout performances.
Okay.
So, Art, before we go to you, right, mm-hmm. I had invited Jack Giroux from Film School Rejects, thefilmstage.com, to come on and talk with us. But at the last minute, there was a mix-up with timing, and he had to bail on us.
Andrew, you can't tell the truth. He realized that I was a bigot and decided not to have any part of this.
However, he had sent me his list
.
For his top five performances. He didn't put this in order for me, at least I don't think so, so I'm just going to read them off. He has Ewan McGregor for Trainspotting.
Okay.
He has Naomi Watts for Mulholland Drive. Okay. Kate Winslet for Eternal Sunshine. She was big long before that, I believe. Yeah. So that's kind of iffy. Philip Seymour Hoffman for Almost Famous. He claims it's the first film he saw him in, so okay. I'll give it to him. And Will Ferrell for Anchorman.
Man, that list is not
correct. Not at all.
Sir,
anyways, Damon, what are your five?
Okay. So, Leonardo DiCaprio for basketball, no, for what's eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, you actually have a seriousness then?
Yes. 1993, he played Irony Grape. And I couldn't believe it was Leonardo DiCaprio because everything I had seen him in prior.
You know, I've had that on to my watch list for like a month and I still haven't gotten around to it.
He was essentially a teen heartthrob type person. And I thought, oh, this seems he's going to suck forever. I don't need to even pay any attention. And then I saw this movie and I'm like, shh, this dude can't act. Then he came in Titanic and I hated him. But then he decided to do good movies.
So you loved him again.
Right.
You black out those bad years.
Yeah, like Basketball Diaries and Titanic. Some of the Disney nonsense. It's just Gilbert Grape and then like Catch Me If You Can.
And then Departed.
Right. Beach or whatever, The Cove or whatever. That movie's terrible and anyone that thinks it's not is wrong. Of course, the greatest actress of probably all time, Meryl Streep, as Joanna Cremo in Cremo vs. Cremo. 1979, so this was still about 7-8 years before I was born. I didn't see this movie until like 2 years ago. And when I saw it, I realized that she didn't get better. She was phenomenal and continued to be phenomenal. For people who haven't seen this movie, don't read any reviews, don't look at anything about the movie, just watch it, and you won't believe just how good Meryl Streep is in this movie. Even after you've seen her be great in things like Doubt and other movies, she is phenomenal in this one. Christian Bale, my boy, he was in Empire of the Sun, 1987, where he played Jim Graham, and he was in Japan when Japan got smoked.
I had him on my list and I took him off because I knew you were going to take him, but I had him for a different movie. I had him for American Psycho because I kind of count that as a one-off
because
I don't know, you know?
I mean, no, this just proved that he was always a great actor, even as a child. I kind of agree with Psycho, but because Psycho is what really put him on the map. But he was so good in this movie that I had to put him on the list. Now, despite my hatred for Al Pacino, no.
God damn it.
He was phenomenal in Godfather.
I have him on my list, damn it.
Scarface is probably my favorite movie with him. No, Scarface is not better than Godfather. That's not what I'm trying to say. But he is phenomenal in Godfather. And Godfather is what one of the best movies of all time. And Michael Corleone, there's just nothing that can be said. He's just phenomenal in this movie. And last is a movie that both you and Douglas hate. When we reviewed Dead Ringers, Jeremy Irons is, you guys hated the movie.
But his agreed, performance.
We all agree that. Yeah, he was pretty phenomenal. In this movie, he is. Next week when we talk about Peacock, there will be some analogies that can be drawn.
Some Cillian Murphy work.
Cillian Murphy he's pretty much in Dead Ringers territory with this movie, and when I think of Jeremy Irons, I do not think of Dead Ringers. I think of Scar from The Lion King, and that's because
He was Scar in The Lion King. Didn't think of that.
I'm a child, and one of the very first movies I ever saw in the theaters was Lion King. I will always love that movie. And I think of every time I hear the names of anyone that was acted in that movie or see them in anything else, my first thought goes to Lion King. It is very
so watching him chop up pregnant ladies, you were like,
no,
he
I'm
used
like,
to
that's
be
Scar. That makes sense. James Earl Jones, every time I see him on like Sesame Street or any.
Well, so when you watch Star Wars and you hear Darth Vader, you're like,
I'm like Is that Mufasa? It's very sad. I can't help myself. So that's my five.
All right, so my five. First of all, Al Pacino was my number two for The Godfather. So you took him, so he gets immediately chopped out of my list.
Number two in my list.
So promoted from the honorable mentions, number five is Emile Hirsch. I went modern with my list. Okay. Emile Hirsch in 2007 with Into the Wild as Alexander Supertramp. I love this movie, and ever since he's gone on to do Milk, he's gone on to do other films which are just brilliant. Number seven. Why did I say number seven? Because of the damn lines in the friggin' program. Number four in my list is Paul Dano from There Will Be Blood as Eli and Paul Sunday. Like, say what you will about this movie, but you know those performances are
brilliant. Are tremendous. All he was wrapped in an engrossing movie that didn't put me to. I'm sorry, fellas.
I mean, who knew the dude, the tripod from Girl Next Door, would end up being Paul and Eli Sunday in There Will Be Blood. Number three on my list is one of our favorite actors, Chiwetel Ejiofor. Even before he was in amazing movies like Red Belt, like Children of Men, he was in Kinky Boots, which is a wonderful British film about this cross-dressing transvestite Lola, who comes in to help this shoe store who's running out of business. It's phenomenal if you haven't seen it. Number two, Jake Gyllenhaal from Donnie Darko. One of my favorite Jake Gyllenhaal movies. I love him. He went on to do Zodiac. Oh Brothers, which he was good in.
Red Proof. Tunning this nonsense. And soon he'll be in Prince of Persia.
He'll be in the next Duncan Jones film. Ha!
Prince of Persia.
And my number one breakout performance comes from our boy Edward Norton in 1996 when he started out and was nominated for Best Supporting in Primal Fear as Aaron. He played the schizophrenic and Roy. Like, I watched this movie for the first time around 2 months ago.
I'm angry that I didn't think of
it. I still love it.
But I took Pacino, so that's fair.
It's fair. Oh. Any honorable mentions on your...
James McAvoy for Last King of Scotland.
I would have given him for Atonement. That was before Last King.
Last King was before, sir.
Really?
Atonement wasn't good. Yeah, Last King was before. Were there any women on your list at all?
Yes, they're in my honorable mentions. I have Zoe Deschanel from
I don't care.
All the Real Girls.
Of course.
She went on to be in fantastic films.
Of course, like, you did.
Oh, like Elf.
Silly question.
And Natalie Portman, who was in The Professional.
No, Leon.
Leon, The Professional, in 1994 as Matilda.
Right.
Brilliant movie.
Also Denzel Washington for Man on Fire.
And with that, we can move into news.
Chris Tucker. Charlie Murphy. I don't know.
And with that, we can move into news. Jack Nicholson is apparently going to be in this new comedy called Last Vegas, which is a older, raunchy version of The Hangover.
Right. No.
The question I have, on top of saying how we just want The Hangover, is since it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Jack Nicholson is in it. Nicholson is in it. We need three more.
Right.
Who are our other three old men to go through Vegas? I say De Niro has to be one.
Since this movie is going to suck anyway.
No, we're trying to make it better.
did you see Nicholson's previous works, like The Bucket List.
I still haven't watched The Bucket List.
So let me make one thing clear. Nicholson is following Pacino to hell in making shitty movies.
I'm sure he's done something
every now and
good.
Again. He like weaves his way into a good movie like The Departed, but it's getting worse with age. And since he's going to do this terrible, terrible movie.
I liked Anger Management.
Yeah. Okay.
As good as it gets, I love that movie. But then again, that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah. Something's Got to Give, not really.
About Schmidt. Schmidt, not really.
The Bucket List.
I don't know what the pledge
Why
is.
Why in God's name did anyone okay that?
Then there was The Departed.
Yeah, then you weave this way. He's like, right,
he's like, Scorsese, you want someone cheap? Come.
I say.
I'm sure he wasn't cheap. Anyways, we're talking three right. others.
So, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
Alright. Didn't you watch, what's the name of the movie with the alarms?
Noise.
Noise, right.
The reprieve. Right. Yeah. What was it? The
Rectifier.
Rectifier.
Right.
He's and one. Then, of course, we have to have the one right beside him, William Hurt.
Right. William
Hurt. Yes. He has to have his mustache from Incredible Hulk, though.
And then, we need a short, fat person that can be mocked.
Danny DeVito.
DeVito, yeah, that's. Alright, so we'll have a four.
But I wanted Nero in there.
No.
No?
Nero must do good movies. Must avoid all of the madness and stick to the plan.
Did you see his last movie, by the way? The family movie, the Christmas one?
No, I haven't seen it as yet.
Everybody's
it.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
It's
mediocre.
Right there on the line. Yeah.
But isn't the guy from Moonlight?
Who? You're talking about everybody. Yeah, yeah. Sam Rockwell is Sam in it, but right. Just like everyone else, he's in it for 20 minutes and moves on.
Okay. I like Sam.
He sits there and he's like, yeah, I play the drum, Dad. I know, my life is sad.
You have Moon, right? Somewhere up there. Those
are. Okay. Ghost Rider 2 might just be happening, but definitely without Nick Cage. So the question I have, right? We have our beef with Nick Cage.
Thumbs down.
Right?
Yes.
After seeing him in Kick-Ass, number one.
No, after seeing him in Bad Lieutenant.
In Bad Lieutenant.
I was back on board.
And Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass was solidified.
So the question is, would we want him in Ghost Rider 2? And number two, since he's not in it, who do we want to take up this role?
I want Zac Efron.
You want Zac Efron. I want Two-Face. What's his name again?
Oh,
Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart as Ghost. And I want Eva Mendes to stay as the love interest.
Eva Mendes needs to stay in the movie. So we can have some kind of continuity. Because that's what Ghost Rider needs.
Of course.
I want some wrestler. Whatever the popular wrestler is. Whoever is, I don't care. Do you know any other wrestlers?
Oh, talking about wrestlers, you know what I read today? There was one article saying that WWE wanted to fund and make an Andre the Giant biopic.
I'd watch it. Why? They have a lot of money. Rednecks would come out in droves to watch it. But seriously, I say Timothy Olyphant.
Timothy, Mr. O. By the way, that's our new nickname for him. Douglas and I have decided the name for Timothy Olyphant since we can't call him Mr. T since that's taken. He is Mr.
Stupid.
He's Mr. O.
Wow, Mr. O. You guys are stupid. So Timmy O.
Right, Tiny.
Timo.
Timo.
Alright.
No, but Timo is taken.
Because since Ghost Rider should be supposedly a cowboy. On a bike.
And Mr. O is doing
Mr.
so well.
Already beat
twice,
cowboy
twice.
Twice. And he has enough swagger to pull it off and clearly the acting chops. Plus, he knows when he's been made fun of. And he knows how to act in movies where he is being made fun of. See Hitman.
Oh, see Girl Next Door.
Or Girl Next Door, right. So, for being serious, I take him. He doesn't have anything doing, so. He's doing TV shows that take, what, like, a day?
A day. So, other news, there's details on Woody Allen's newest film, Midnight in Paris.
I don't like him.
Have come out. And it's been said that it's a romantic comedy that follows a family traveling to the city for business, including a young engaged couple that has their lives transformed throughout the journey. The film celebrates a young man's great love for Paris and simultaneously explores the illusion people have that a life different from their own is better. So hold on. Here's what I have, right? I don't know about you, but I actually liked Woody Allen's early films. Agree or disagree?
Some.
All right.
Annie Hall, his opus, not a fan of.
But you like Manhattan?
Yes.
Okay. Later films, especially the last one which we saw, Whatever Works, laughable at best. However, I remember us having good things to say about Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
The one before that with the same girl from Vicky Cristina, the Laker, what? I don't
what was the one the before Scoop. The Scoop? Oh yeah, that's terrible. I actually kind of like that on a little, just a little bit, only for my Ian McShane bias.
Here I said.
So here's my question: in his recent films, the only ones that we've pointed out that were good were ones that were set outside of New York, his lovely, lovely place.
Right.
I know, unlike Whatever Works, when he went back to New York, he's left America and gone to Paris.
Finally.
Do you think there's a chance in hell that this movie will turn out good?
No.
No chance in hell?
No.
I mean, it's already cast people like Owen Wilson, Marion Cotillard, Rachel McAdam, Kathy Bates, Michael Sheen, and the other names I don't know.
So, my problem with Woody is that I don't know anyone like him. I don't understand how he thinks. I don't get a lot of the
Park
dialogue.
Chan-wook. Park Chan-wook. Wow. Do you know anyone like him?
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam. Yeah,
but they aren't making A, the same movie, and B, romantic comedies. Left. I mean, that's all he does. And I understand it's his wheelhouse. And it's very comfortable, and it's not fair for me to ask someone that is good at something to do something else that he's just going to ruin and I'm going to hate him for. So I don't have any problem with him continuing to do romantic comedies. But all of them kind of blend into one. All of them kind of feel same-ish. And what I like most about romantic comedies, like, oh, two of our favorites, Before and After Sunset, right? I love how natural the dialogue feels and how natural the situation and the decisions that they make feel. But in his world, I don't know how his brain works, but a lot of the situations that he creates, he thinks it's funny and I do not, which is always an issue. And then the people react in ways that I've never met anybody who would ever react in that way. But he did give me Vicky Cristina. And so, again, I will give him rope to hang himself and hope for the best. I mean, he's done enough that you kind of have to give him, you know, the leeway. You can't just go, no, because you didn't like a couple films. Unlike certain people, Mr. Star Wars. He's still planning to make more. Do you realize?
I know. I definitely, like, I have a soft spot for Woody Allen because I kind of like his style. I mean, it definitely hasn't worked in his recent films all the while, but Vicky Cristina gave me a glimmer of hope that he's coming back, and then Whatever Works just killed it away. But every time I hear about a Woody Allen film, I kind of get this little feeling inside that goes, Andrew, you know you want to watch this. You want to give it a try. But I kind of have to, my brain at the same time goes, no, Andrew, he did right. Those.
Logic keeps poking us.
And
old fart. It's out of touch. You know it's going to be bad.
You know, and then I get disappointed each time.
This is what is bad.
So I'm kind of My brain says no. My heart says
maybe.
Give it a chance. And I mean, I like Owen Wilson in most of his movies. I mean, he ends up doing some bad, some good, some fun.
Luke Wilson is the skinny one, right?
Luke Wilson is a dark haired one. Owen Wilson is a blonde.
Owen Wilson is the one that came in
Wedding Crashers.
Oh no, I don't like him. I like the other ones.
Luke Wilson. I actually don't like Luke Wilson for the reason that he did Tenenbaums as well as Owen. He was in Henry Poole, which you like, but I still haven't watched that. He was in Idiocracy, which I hated.
I enjoyed that movie.
I haven't seen him in enough movies that I really truly like, is my problem.
Okay. Like, he was in Tenure recently. But he keeps playing that, he plays that guy in all his movies. He's the same kind of guy. But I enjoy it. So.
He's in the new Death at a Funeral.
Why did we have to talk about
it? I don't know. I didn't watch it. Anyways, news. Lots of TV shows, apparently, according to IGN, are on the verge of being cancelled. And one of our co-hosts' favorite show is once again on the verge of being cancelled. However, he's not here to reply.
Yes.
Chuck is almost gone, apparently, according to IGN. And we have no comments. Because we're not watching the show. I just wanted to say that
if you need to watch a show for 100 hours before it starts getting good, you should probably cancel it. How is Heroes still on the air?
Once again, Heroes is on the verge of getting cancelled.
They're just going to have two lesbians.
I think the problem is that they don't have anything to replace it with. They keep saying we should cancel it, you know, but what are we going to put instead of it?
What about that guy that they threw Conan off the airport?
different network on top of everything else. Hey, did you watch the latest 30 Rock?
No, I'm saving all of it.
Oh, it's a weekly show. Blah. 30 Rock, they had the Konani episode where they were talking about the garbage men trash, and they wanted early. Konani signed a 5-year earlier contract signed by a daughter who said that you promised me an earlier shift, and then he kicked the whole Conan thing happened all over again with Konani and the other people with shifts on. It was hilarious. Human Target, one of my favorite shows that just ended first season.
Is it actually good?
It's a fun show. It's a fun action show.
That is not what I asked you. You did that. You're avoiding the question. I asked you if it's good.
On the good meter, it's around 8.
Okay. Why is it good?
Because it's a fun action show that you will watch week in, week out, and you get to see Rorschach and Shy McBride.
Okay. Rorschach is in it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. All right, you should just, instead of calling him Jackie Earl Haley, just say Rorschach.
I actually didn't know that his name was Jackie Earl Haley. It's just Rorschach.
Lie to me, one of your favorite shows is
TNT,
on the beach.
There's no way TNT is going to. Because they're the We Know Drama people, and they know that's.
Scrubs. Everyone knew from like weeks ago that Scrubs was gone. Zach Braff posted it on his Facebook. Right. It was made official a long time ago. Scrubs is gone, and to tell the truth, after watching the last season, even though it had a few good notes,
I'm glad you took that bullet so that I didn't.
I'm happy it's gone.
Andrew's like, it's not very good. I'm like, oh, that's great. No need to watch it.
And with that, we can move into trailers this week.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do. Shut the fuck up. There was a trailer for The Disappearance of Alice Creed.
Police, quick. I need the police. I've been kidnapped. I don't know where I am. No, I've been locked in. I can't get out. Can't you trace the call? You have to come now. Right now. He's gonna come back.
Miss, calm down. Tell me what happened.
Yes, Gemma Arterton. She will be in...
I know that name. Where is
it? She's in Prince of Persia. She was in the last James Bond.
Wasn't she in Clash of the Titans?
Yes. She's the girl that they dipped in oil.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty. Very, very pretty. Can't believe she's British. British people shouldn't look that good.
And with that, we move to Andrew.
So, apparently, she's in the trailer. She's kidnapped. But it seems that she's either in on it or has convinced one of her kidnappers.
This movie is going to be about Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Hopefully. It looks alright. It looks kind of fun. Hopefully, it looks like it's
kind of fun. And then when I watch it, it's going to be cliche.
Right. Hopefully, they steer away from the cliches.
It looks like it'll be a little bit of what's that Fincher film? Panic Room.
Right.
Panic Room crossed with that bad James Bond movie. the premise of that bad James Bond movie.
Right.
The world is not enough. Talking
about terrible James Bond. But I hope that they don't... What I hope is that they don't... hopefully the director doesn't think like how we think. And then goes off and tries to make this movie as unconventional as possible. And then ends up making
horrible.
No sense. I'd prefer if he takes something cliche and does it well than him go off into space and dream of madness. I prefer that. But it looks alright. Plus she's pretty. And Enraha is in it.
Enraha is in it, totally. I love that dude from that movie.
Yes, and that's the only thing I do love from that movie. Happy Go Lucky is so annoying.
Sally Hawkins was awesome in that movie.
Care what
just because
is.
You don't, just because you're an annoying, horrible
yes.
person doesn't
yes.
mean you
just
can't like
my
happy
heart
people.
Is black. That's exactly why I can't like happy people. No one is that happy. If I met her, I'd punch her in the face. I'm sorry. No, you shouldn't punch women. Again, unless they
deserve. Quoting Sean Connery at this point. Another trailer which came out this week because I feel like one isn't enough and there weren't many good ones. The first full trailer for Twilight Eclipse.
What are you doing?
I'm here to warn you.
Just leave. Now. She has a right to know.
What?
We've been tracking the situation in Seattle for a while. Unexplained disappearances. Killings.
Someone's creating an army.
An army of vampires. They're coming here.
Well, I didn't see.
Why didn't you tell me? I would
because,
have been watching.
Yes, that's exactly what. So that I don't have to see. I'm never going to watch any other Twilight movies.
So this is the third one, directed by David Slade,
yes.
Which is apparently the only good director who's done this film.
I'm sorry, David. I know you're doing it for the money, and so that you can tell the company, say, "All right, I made a shitty movie."
I actually like to take the excuse that every actor does when they do shitty children's movies. Their daughter found out about it, and they told them that they have to do it, or they'll disown them.
Right, because what's the dude from Damn United?
Michael Sheen.
Right, he's in this.
His daughter found out about it and told him, I'll disown you.
Like, I've heard the whole Twilight ends.
By the way, that's one of the reasons why I'm still watching it, because I want to see that scene I want the fourth film to be rated R, so I can have that scene
right.
with the ending.
So if...
I'll let the right one in version.
If they get Von Trier to do part 4, and he will definitely be putting all of that in, then I might watch a Twilight movie. I'll watch the last one.
No, you have to get the backlog.
No, I don't need to say that. I'm pretty sure I can guess. Because it's not like the storyline is dynamic and I won't be able to follow what is happening.
Of course you would.
Vapid chick has 900-year-old vampire trying to bang her. And then he, one day in her sleep, she gets banged. It is terrible. I know it is terrible because I've seen the trailers. And I've heard people talking about this terrible movie. I really don't want to see it.
But then when you hear them, you give them the right one in and they aren't changed.
No. At this point, like, I remember one time I came on here, I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to stop talking to people. And when they talk about movies, I have to go off in a corner somewhere and cry. And pretend like I'm better than them and I'm an elitist because I watch good
you
movies
are.
And you watch shitty movies. But the truth is that
you are.
I am. So it's no point fighting the inevitable, talking to normal people. And I say normal people with a huge grain of salt because they're all stupid. Talking to them about anything that's not football usually makes me angry.
But talking to mobile football makes you
actually. Yeah, but that is fun. Talking to them about movies.
You know what? I want to do. I want to get someone like a character, or like a Pee Wee Herman type dedicated character who won't realize you're making fun of them, and will just continue to be stupid and just trap you in a room with him, and just let you have to keep talking to him as he continues to make retarded statements.
He'd end up strangled. I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
I don't have to.
Anyways. Since you haven't seen this trailer,
I'm sorry, guys. Didn't do my due diligence.
I actually kind of think this is like the best looking trailer.
Okay, so it's the best gunshot wound I've received. I've been shot 8 times, but like, all the times, still, this time was the one that hurt the least. Almost,
it definitely
this one was came through. Two stitches.
It's kind of hilarious when I see Edward on the screen again. Because I can't wait. I can't wait to go to the theater and start laughing my ass off at all of these grown women lusted after Edward and Taylor Lautner.
When the critics that I listen to talk about this movie. All of them talk about it in that term, in those terms where oh, they go and laugh at other people, right? So I'm like, alright, fine. You said that's why you're going, why don't you go to Sex in the City? Oh, that's right, because you kill yourself. And that is what I am afraid of. I don't want to spend $600 and then 20 minutes in go, you know what? No. No. I have to punch some woman. Because some woman going, argue me, why are you getting up and swallowing? And I have to punch her. And punch the man that's standing sitting because him going get up. The defender.
You're going to have to hope he's not a family.
As the defender run up. Then him going get stabbed. And it's violence. So
I saw that, Precious, remember?
Exactly. This is Jamaica. He might have a gun. Then I'm going to have to get a gun. Some violence all over. No, I vow never to. Even if Von. But unless Von Trier is directing part.
But I think the most hilarious part about it is that part one. You had just the these random four vampires versus the Edward family. Part two was the wolves versus the Edward vampire. Part three is going to be this army from the big city come to fight the wolves and the Edward vampire gang.
And what's part four? Angels?
Honestly. Must be.
I guess.
The
Lord looked down and said no.
This is probably going to be bad.
Really?
Probably.
What's giving you the idea?
Edward is in it.
Edward is in it. And the actors are bad.
Because, what's her name? Kristen Stewart? Kristen Stewart?
She's bad. I will not defend her any longer.
You know what she was awesome in? No.
I actually don't.
And with that, we can move into our main review this week.
No?
No. I'm sure they wanted her.
I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Anyways,
our review.
We're going to talk about Mysterious Skin, the 2004 film by Greg Araki.
Starring Cobra Commander.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Cobra!
I fucked every single guy and his ugly uncle in his podunk town. Twice. You on? One of us has to drive. I got a postcard from Wendy.
And she's mad at me. It's over like 3 letters.
Yeah. Her last PS is, tell Fuckface to write me. So you want to hear what she says? Hey, ass. So New York is insane and crazy in the best possible way.
Pardon me.
Can we help you?
I was wondering if I might buy you boys a drink.
Fuck off. You heard me, fag. Fuck off.
Stuck up little pricks. Harsh. Wasn't he kind of your type?
Hate it when they look like Tarzan and sound like Jane. Let's get out of this shithole.
But we just got here?
So, first question: had you seen this before? Because this is like, whenever I'm picking a film, I'm like, I wonder if Damon has seen this, because I want to pick something you haven't seen.
So funny enough, you guys told me about this movie a while ago, and I saw it, I think last year. I think Douglas wanna. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some, and so I went.
Probably Cobra Commando.
Yeah, I went and I saw it, and then you put it on the list. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll watch it again. But I think you should go first.
All right,
I'm going to make you very angry with you.
Okay.
Pretty short.
All right. So for everyone who doesn't know, this is a film about these two characters, Nick and Brian,
and Cobra.
That's Nick. Let's give him at least a character name for this film. Nick was sexually abused as a child and finds out pretty early in life that he is homosexual. And he likes it. And he becomes a prostitute.
Of course. Natural progression.
Brian...
See the Catholic Church.
Believes that he was abducted by aliens.
As all small white children.
Because he has these blackouts. From he was a child, that he can't remember what happened, and no one knows what happened to him, and he wakes up with a bloody nose, and randomly he'll just fall to the ground and black out. And it's about them growing up, and they've become 19 and figuring out all of this going on with their lives. I actually really like this film.
Caveat.
It's kind of, I like it in the same sense that I like films like Antichrist and whatchamacallit.
I've never seen that movie.
I'm sure there's a movie called that, by the way, somewhere. Requiem for a Dream. In that, it's really good, but at times it makes me very uncomfortable watching it.
So you are a girl.
Huh? I am a girl.
And you.
Especially for the first like 15 minutes when they're the 8-year-old scenes. Like, I remember I watched this film last night, and I was watching really closely at the editing during those scenes to be like, I wonder how close they made these child actors, how much they made these child actors actually do. Right? Because you were like, I was wondering, like, during filming, like, what is it they actually explained to the children when they were first told?
The parents.
No. The parents without, like... have you watched Bruno?
Yes.
All right, you remember this one scene where he was interviewing the parents for the baby advertisement?
I tried not to think that all parents are...
The mother was like, yeah, the child will do that madness. Of course I'll let him.
Parents.
You're hoping that was scripted. They paid those parents.
No, I know there's parents like that. I'm just hoping that most parents aren't.
Well, I don't have that problem. I am not a girl. The 1 point that
I'm checking.
I'm not a little girl. And watching the editing, the children definitely had to know something was going on. During these scenes, which made me quite uncomfortable.
Like, why is he so close to me? What's going on here?
Like, just think about that picture, that photograph, with, you know, touching the tongue. Like,
is this legal? Where's my agent? Is this in the contract?
I could just imagine the child's. You want to think that the child's parent is standing behind the camera, going like, "Was that in this? That wasn't in the script. Right. Stop this right now. Cut. It's over."
I think that's probably where all the cuts come from. Like, what? Stop. Are you crazy?
However, this movie gets exponentially better as me watching it, enjoying it, as soon as he becomes 19 and it's now Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I was able to do the math in my head and know how old he was watching this movie. There were still a few moments when it got to me, like later on when he gets mugged.
Oh, that's what I was going to call that. Mugging.
The performances from Gordon-Levitt and whoever Brian is, I don't know who his name is. And also Michelle Trachtenberg.
No, not a fan of Miss Trachtenberg.
Loved it.
I'm a fan of the other youth.
Erin, the gay youth, the one with the color hair. Yeah, he was really good too.
Really far.
who I was really worried about and I never got to see much of her was Brian's mother. Because senior with the gun.
Right, I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah. I like this movie a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I would recommend it to people who are out there in the film community. Like, who are people who actively look for good movies.
So not Jamaicans.
Not Jamaicans. You know, like, people who would take their time and sit down and be like, I heard that Requiem for a Dream was a really good movie. Let me go and watch that. For those people.
I'd love to hijack Carib. Like, call it a Tyler Perry movie, right?
Just keep the Tyler Perry movie on the market.
So we're getting the salt of Jamaica, the real Jamaicans, lock them into Carib and start running this and see how many times people get up and shout in anger, hey, the money love man, you let me out of this.
I'm talking about it. I remember seeing Green Zone and hearing people in the crowd going like, man no kiss man.
Just to see people squirm and cuss and
for whenever
punch
the
for like an hour and 40 minutes Iraqis and they can't come out. It would have been phenomenal. But we can't because it's illegal. So I like half of this movie. Not the Cobra Commander half.
Not the Cobra Commander half?
No. I for the same reason that I don't like Girlfriend Experience. They could have named his half the Boyfriend Experience. Because he exhibited the same range of acting and emotions that Miss Sasha Grey exhibited in The Girlfriend Experience, which is not many. He played essentially what's her name in Twilight? The Ella? That's a Bella?
Bella.
Character, right?
Bella Swan.
She just, it's just this vapid emotion, this look and stare as he stares blankly at the camera.
I'm sure if we had a camera on you at work, you'd be vapid emotion at work.
No, that's because where I work is the helpful. No, I just didn't, like, he didn't show any real emotion. He was just always surly, and I know a lot about being surly.
I wonder why.
And there was just, I just thought they could have done more with his character. The half with the dude and the alien was tremendous. I couldn't believe that, you know, they were able to rap. Because you didn't really know that was happening until about halfway into the movie. You realize that there was definitely a connection between
them. I was so surprised when that happened.
The movie, I do really enjoy this movie. It is very good. Trachtenberg, not a fan of her in general.
Buffy.
Every time I see her, I get a little bit annoyed, but she wasn't in this movie much. He played a prostitute, and I've met a few prostitutes.
Good to know.
Professionally, of course.
2 points, Damien. 2 points right there. Damien's in the lead.
Right. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed his portions as well. I just thought that they could have done more. He just, from the start of the movie to the end, he was just so accepting of A, being molested, and B, you know, going down this road of prostitute. He never had any objections until the mugging. I really don't think that is how prostitution works. I'm pretty sure they don't just go, you know, this prostitution thing looks fun. Although between Cobra Commander and Sasha Grey, clearly that is how it works. They just go, they just flip a switch. Prostitution, of course. It's perfect sense. So you get paid to bang people. This is genius.
Have fun doing it normally. Why not get money for it?
They don't smile, and they dress in black, and they stand at bars. And that is it. And even in the final scene where he's consoling
Brian,
there's still no emotion. Brian is...
He's just explaining.
Yes, but when he realizes what... I think that when you realize that you and someone had a shared experience and the other person
wasn't
as
in on it.
As a defense mechanism, wiped that that experience completely out of his mind and replaced it with absolute madness. You'd have been just a little bit, been just a little bit more concerned. And he's like, "This is what I'm," and then he just sits there staring at the camera like, "Yeah, I know your life was destroyed. I'm a prostitute."
You see, I kind of buy it because, like, you know from the get-go that even before that experience happened in the film, he was questioning it.
No. I'm not saying...
No, I'm getting to you, right? Mm. He was questioned. And then this experience happened to him, and then it confirmed it for him.
Right.
And then he didn't look at this child being...
No, I'm talking about in the end. I'm not talking about right away. Because he didn't know what had happened to him. That wasn't his concern. I'm talking about at the end of the movie, when he realizes what had happened to this guy.
He'd
have shown even a little bit of concern. Yeah. Alright, let's not use this as an excuse. Say, me and you go somewhere, right? Me and you go to Blue Mountain, and we come back, right? And 20 years from now, I meet you again, and you said to me...
Who are you?
You said to me, could you tell me what happened while we were at Blue Mountain? And I said, we kicked Nikada off the cliff. Right? And you said, no, you don't remember any of that. What you remember was some guy floating, jumping off a cliff.
I'm flying all the way to Azkaban.
Are you serious? But we both kicked him off the cliff. It was remarkable. Right? I don't remember any of that. I mean, I'd have looked puzzled as to why it is that you've replaced all this. But Cobra Commander, I guess he was preparing to be King Cobra. Or Cobra Commander. He's like, Cobra Commander doesn't show emotion. I'm better than that.
No emotion.
He's like, even the guy is like lying, he's like, hell is his problem.
I viewed it like when he was explaining to him what happened, I viewed it as him explaining what his first experience of love was. That's how I kind of viewed it. And he didn't really think to respond to what to Brian's reactions to the story.
Okay.
Because he was just in his own mind going through the experience. I mean, it kind of cuts before we can get to his response to Brian's reaction, but you can see a little hint of it when he sees people coming to the door and kind of worrying about, holy shit, how do I get out of this, because Brian's in a state right now, and
Brian is devastated. He's like shaking and he's bleeding and he's like, just relax, that's it.
One thing that definitely annoyed me about this movie was the alien girl.
Yes.
The girl that was macking on Brian. I thought she was stupid.
I'm pretty sure that's what I... If someone really thinks that they're abducted by it, I'm pretty sure that's the rule they go down. They try to ban other people that were abducted. It makes sense.
It sounds like a Barney joke. It sounds like a Barney joke. Like, he says, one day I was in the bar, and I was like, you were abducted by aliens, so was I. Wink.
Exactly. I mean, how is it? You can't tell anybody else that seriously, I expect them to love you. You go to parties, and like, so how did you meet Andrew?
We were both abducted by aliens.
So Andrew thinks he's abducted by aliens. And all your friends would go, I'm sorry, what? So why are you with him? No, I tell him that I'm abducted. That's the only way. There's nothing else. You have to say that. So it makes sense. Who else was she going to sleep with? Nobody. The games. That's good. That youth, though, very flamboyant. The friend.
Which one? Erin?
Cobra's friend.
Erin, yeah.
Very flamboyant. I enjoyed his performance. It was pretty good.
I'm kind of like Lieutenant Aldo Raine. I like them where you can see them right away. I'm joking. I don't know. So who would you recommend this movie to?
Jamaicans. I actually don't know who, like, I don't want to say people who love film, because they watch anything. You don't recommend movies to people.
You go like, this movie is good, go and watch it.
Yeah, you just assume that they come to this movie
one, eventually.
Eventually. I recommend movies to people that I know never, under any circumstance, watch a movie. And right now, I don't know who. There's not one person in that I have in mind that I go.
I say we lock Tanai up and make him watch this.
That would be hilarious. Tanai is poor brain with it. But again, that would be a recommendation. That would be a threat. I think they should show this in prisons.
I think they would take it as a instructional video, though.
No, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't. Pretty sure they would.
That's what they say. That's what they say when they leave.
Yeah, I'll never commit a crime again. Stop showing this shitty movie.
And with that, I guess we can go.
It's good to be back, bitches.
This is Tomp. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
You can find Douglas still thesising. You can find the podcast at gmanreviews.com.
Hopefully he doesn't get mugged.
So you win it. Three one.
Yeah, that little girl's job, that was special.
Thank you. You can find all my writings at gmanreviews.com, thefilmstage.com, and collider.com, and also on Twitter at gmanreviews.
And on film.com and slash film.
Not film, really.
Film, and more film. And even
having fun with that one. Having fun with that one. We're on every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Ustream. Check us out, please. Go and rate us on iTunes. We're on iTunes and on Podcast Alley.
You could check our RSS feed, except it's broken.
I'll fix it. Good night and good luck.
Wow, thanks for that. I'm never coming back. I quit. Fair enough of this.